All right, let's dive into something a bit different today. We're talking building regulations.
Yeah, those rules that might seem kind of hidden, but are super important for keeping our buildings safe.
Exactly. And to understand why they matter, we need to rewind a bit. Let's go back to 1985 to the Bradford City Stadium.
That's a story that really drives home the point of these regulations. On May 11th, a fire, a small one at first, started under the stadium's wooden grandstand.
And within minutes, it spread rapidly. It's a tragedy. 56 people gone and hundreds injured.
That event was a catalyst, really, for a complete overhaul of safety regulations, especially in sports venues, not just in the UK, but it made everyone stop and think.
It makes you realize that behind every wall, every structure, there's this story, this need for safety. And sometimes those stories, well, they come from lessons learned the hard way.
And that brings us to what we're looking at today, these approved documents. Think of them as the rule book, the guidelines for construction in England. Today, it's the merged approved documents, MAR23.pdf.
Catchy title, right? But seriously, this document, it's like the ultimate guide, making sure everything from fire safety to making sure the roof stays up to energy efficiency, it's all there.
It's a foundation for anyone involved. Builders, architects, even homeowners planning a little DIY. We'll be focusing on those must-knows, the key guidelines to make sure our buildings are safe, healthy.
So it's about understanding the core of any construction project. Before we even lay the first brick, we need to understand the why, the what are we even doing here?
Exactly. These approved documents, they're like your instruction manual for building in England. But here's the thing, they're not just friendly suggestions, they carry legal weight.
Ah, so there are consequences for just winging it.
Absolutely. Fines, legal action, even jeopardizing everyone's safety inside the building. We're talking serious stuff here.
It's not about catching people out, though, is it?
Yeah.
It's about establishing that standard, a baseline for everyone to work from.
Exactly. And this specific document we're diving into, approved document B, zeroes in on fire safety.
Fire safety, got it. But what about the rest of it? How do we ensure a wall won't just crumble, or that the roof can handle, well, whatever the UK weather throws at it?
Don't worry, that's where the other approved documents come in. Each one tackles a different aspect of building work. Think of it like this big, interconnected web of regulations all working together.
So it's like this whole ecosystem, everything playing its part. Today, we might be focusing on fire safety, but it's all connected in the grand scheme of things.
You've got it. And while we won't be going through every single rule and regulation today, understanding this fire safety section, it gives us the keys to navigating the rest.
Perfect. So let's get down to it. What are the essential things we need to get our heads around?
All right, before we get into the nitty-gritty, there are a few key things to understand. First up, CE marking on building materials.
CE marking, isn't that just like little logo you see on everything?
It's easy to think that, but it's so much more than a sticker. Seeing that CE mark, it tells you that this material has met these essential European standards for safety, for health, even environmental protection.
So it's like a stamp of approval, a way of knowing that these materials have gone through rigorous testing.
Precisely. Imagine you're getting windows for your new extension. Seeing that CE mark, it's like peace of mind. You know those window frames have been put through the wringer, tested to make sure they meet safety standards. But keep in mind that CE marking, it's just the beginning. Always check the specific product standard and those performance levels. You want to be sure that the material is the right one for the job.
It's like checking the label on your clothes. One size doesn't always fit all. We need to pay attention to the details. So what else do we need to know about these building materials?
Now we're getting into the classification of materials. You'll see things like brick group one, brick group two, blocks, that kind of thing throughout the document.
Okay, and just like that, I feel like I'm back in a physics lesson. Can you break down what these classifications actually mean in a way that won't make my head spin?
Basically, it all boils down to strength and durability and how that impacts the structure. Think of it like this. You wouldn't build a skyscraper with the same type of bricks you'd use for a garden wall.
That makes sense. A skyscraper needs some serious bricks.
Right. These classifications, they're there to make sure we're using the right materials for the job.
Okay, so where do we actually find this information, this cheat sheet for choosing the right bricks and blocks?
Table 6 in the document, that's your go-to. It breaks down these classifications, lays it all out in plain English. It helps builders, architects, everyone pick the material strong enough to withstand whatever stresses they'll be under.
So, table 6, got it. And this is especially important for those load-bearing elements like walls, right? After all, they're holding the whole thing up.
Exactly. Walls are like the unsung heroes holding everything up behind the scenes. And when we talk about walls, well, cavity construction, that's a big one, especially in England.
Cavity walls, right? Just to refresh my memory, what's the deal with those again?
Think of it like a sandwich, two slices of bread with something in between. That's your cavity wall, two layers, a gap in the middle, insulation keeps things dry, that's the idea. And the document, it sets out how thick these layers need to be, the gap too, all to make sure the wall can handle the weight.
So there's actual math behind it. It's not just like build two walls and hope for the best.
Yeah.
What determines how thick a wall needs to be?
It's a balancing act. The higher the wall, the longer it is, the types of materials you're using, how much weight it needs to hold, it all factors in.
Like building a tower, the taller it gets, the stronger the base needs to be.
Exactly. And there are some hard and fast rules in the document. For example, a supporting wall, the one doing the heavy lifting, it has to be as thick as the wall it's supporting.
So no cutting corners there.
Nope. Imagine you're renovating, want to knock down a wall to open up the space?
That open plan living dream.
Exactly. But before you grab the sledgehammer, you need to know, is this wall holding up the house? If it is, and you remove it without proper support, well, things could get messy.
Yeah, that's not the kind of renovation I'm looking for. Better safe than sorry. Right. So walls, check. What about roofs and floors? They have to be pretty tough too.
Absolutely. We call it imposed loads, basically anything those have to support on top of their own weight.
So people walking around, furniture, my ever-growing pile of books.
Exactly. Even snow piling up on the roof. The regulations, they set out the minimum load a roof, a floor has to handle without caving in. It's all about thinking ahead, anticipating those stresses.
And those maximum lengths and heights we talked about earlier, they come into play here too.
They do. For those big, complex projects, it's where things get really technical. This document, it's a great starting point, but sometimes you need the experts, the structural engineers, to make sure everything is up to code.
So we got the bones of the building covered. What about the skin, the cladding? What does the document say about that?
Cladding, it's crucial. Protects the building from the elements, adds to how it looks. But if it's not done right, it can be a big safety risk, especially if it comes loose.
Detached cladding. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen, especially in a storm.
Exactly. This document gets into the nitty-gritty of how to support and attach different types of cladding. Everything from curtain walling to glass facades, making sure it's secure, won't just fly off in the wind.
Making sure the building can weather the storm, literally. Any real-world examples of why this is so important?
Sadly, yes. The Grenfell Tower fire, that was a stark reminder of how dangerous flammable cladding can be. A terrible tragedy, and it led to a big push for stricter regulations on cladding materials and installation.
It's heartbreaking to think about. It really highlights why these regulations are in place.
It's a lesson we can't afford to forget. And remember, this document, it focuses on the structural part of cladding. Weather resistance, that's approved document C. And for the specifics on fire safety with cladding, we circle back to approved document B. It's all interlinked.
Like pieces of a puzzle. Okay, so fire safety. We touched on compartmentation earlier. Can we dig into that a bit more?
Absolutely. Compartmentation, it's a cornerstone of fire safety. The idea is to divide a building into these separate compartments using fire-resistant walls and floors. It's like putting brakes on a fire, slowing it down, giving people more time to escape.
Buying precious time for people to get out safely.
Exactly. Those fire-resistant barriers, they act like shields, stopping a small fire from becoming a massive inferno.
It's about containing it, limiting the damage. But it's not just the walls and floors, is it? What about doors?
Good point. Fire-resistant doors, they're key players here. They act like gatekeepers, stopping that fire and smoke from spreading from one compartment to the next.
I've always wondered about those heavy doors, usually with the big closers on top.
Those closers, they're there for a reason. They make sure those doors close tight every single time, no room for error. And the document, it goes deep on these fire door sets, what's required depending on where they are in the building and what they're used for.
Fire door set. So it's more than just the door itself.
It's the whole package deal. The door, the frame, hinges, closers, everything. All of it has to work perfectly together to provide that fire resistance. Even those little rubber strips, the smoke seals, they matter. They stop that smoke from sneaking through the gaps.
Wow, so much attention to detail. It's amazing how these small things add up to create this big safety net.
It's all about planning ahead, you know,
Right.
anticipating the risks, and of course, containing the fire, that's only half the battle. We also need to make sure people can get out.
Escape routes. That makes sense. What do the regulations say about those?
They set out specific guidelines for how wide stairs need to be, for example, making sure there's enough room for everyone to get out quickly and safely. You don't want a bottleneck in a fire. And of course, access for firefighters is crucial too.
So, clear paths out, easy access in. I'm guessing different types of buildings have different requirements. An office building probably doesn't have the same needs as, say, a skyscraper.
You're right. The regulations take that into account. Skyscrapers, for example, they often have these things called firefighting shafts.
Firefighting shafts? Sounds intense.
They're like express routes for firefighters, dedicated lifts, special equipment, all to help them get where they need to go quickly and safely.
Wow, they really have thought of everything, haven't they?
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, from CE marking to fire-resistant doors to firefighting shafts. And really, this is just a glimpse into all the details in this document.
I feel like I'm starting to see those hidden layers, you know,
yeah.
The thought that goes into every aspect of making sure these buildings are safe.
It's easy to overlook until something goes wrong. But at the end of the day, these guidelines, they're about protecting people, making sure our buildings are as safe as possible.
Absolutely. So before we move on, is there one key takeaway, something that underpins everything we've talked about in this document?
Well, there's one thing that keeps popping up, kind of like a theme throughout this document. It's this idea of fire resistance.
It's everywhere because it's the foundation, really. It's the ability of the materials, the parts of the building, to actually stand up to fire, to stop it from spreading, from causing more damage. So we're talking about how long a wall can hold on, how much heat a door can take before it, well, fails.
Exactly. But it's not just about time, though. It's about how well a material holds its own against those flames. Can it stop the flames from spreading? Does it keep the heat from transferring through?
It's like it's got its own little defense system built in.
Exactly. The document uses terms like REI and E. They're ways of measuring how fire-resistant something is. For example, REI 30. That means a material can withstand a fire for 30 minutes. Holding its structure, blocking the flames, minimizing that heat transfer.
REI 30. Okay, I'm trying to picture how they figure that out. Do they just, like, set things on fire and see what happens?
It's a bit more scientific than that, thankfully. There are standards, like BS 476, and these materials are put through rigorous testing based on those standards. They simulate real fire conditions, you see?
So it's about having the right materials tested in the right way to get those fire resistance ratings.
And it goes beyond just individual components. Remember those fire door sets we talked about?
Yeah.
They're tested as a whole unit to make sure everything works together as it should.
It's like you wouldn't just test the airbags in a car on their own. You'd make sure they work with the seat belts, the crumple zones, the whole safety system.
Exactly. It all has to work in sync. So even if you've got the best fire-resistant materials, if they're not put in properly, well, it's a bit like having a fancy security system, but leaving your front door wide open.
It all comes back to that teamwork, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just on the builder or the homeowner. It's everyone involved.
Absolutely. Everyone needs to be on the same page. The homeowner, the builder, the architect, everyone. Open communication is key here.
So it's about going beyond just ticking those boxes.
Yeah.
It's about aiming higher, working together to create that safe environment.
Now you're getting it. And you know, it's easy to get lost in all these regulations, all the technical stuff. But at the end of the day, this is all about keeping people safe. That's the bottom line.
It's about those real-world safety features, the fire alarms, the sprinkler systems, even the exit signs. We often take them for granted, but they're there for a reason because of these regulations.
And let's not forget the firefighters, those who put their lives on the line every day. These regulations, they're also there to help them do their job safely.
It's like this chain reaction, one safety measure leading to another, protecting those inside a building and those who respond when things go wrong.
And, you know, it's not just about responding to fires. It's about preventing them in the first place, using materials that are less likely to catch fire, making sure there's proper ventilation. It all plays a part.
So it's about thinking ahead, minimizing those risks before they even become a problem.
Absolutely. It might feel like navigating a maze sometimes, all these building regulations, but it's worth it.
I think we've done a pretty good job of breaking it down, making it a bit easier to understand.
I hope so. The next time you're in a building, whether it's your home, your office, a shop, anywhere, just take a moment, think about everything that's gone into making that space safe. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It really is. Well, that's our deep dive into the world of approved documents, specifically those focused on fire safety. It's been enlightening, to say the least.
It always is. And it's reassuring to know that even with all the complexities of building, there's a system in place, a framework to make sure we're all building a safer future together.